This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A bit later in the hour, we'll talk about how some hospitals are preparing for an unexpected flood of patients and how they're dealing with a shortage of personal protective equipment. Just a note, we won't be taking calls during this recorded hour. Up first, since they were first discovered, Neanderthals, our much maligned ancient cousins, have been cast as inferior. After all, they quickly disappeared from Europe after the arrival of human ancestors from Africa 40,000 years ago. But over the last couple of decades, the stereotype of the dumb, primitive Neanderthal has been broken. For example, jewelry and art have been found in caves, all too old to belong to anyone but Neanderthals. And then there's the fact that they interbred with human ancestors, and traces of their genetic material live on in our genes. Yet the big question remains, where did they go? Why, when human ancestors finally made it to Europe, did Neanderthals vanish? One persistent theory? Omega-3 fatty acids from a seafood diet of our human ancestors allowed them to develop more advanced brains than their Neanderthal cousins. But here's where things get interesting. Because in a cramped cave in Portugal named Figueira Brava, evidence has been discovered that Neanderthals, too, ate from the sea. The news was published in the journal Science last week. Science Friday producer Christy Taylor spoke to Dr. João Zilau, a research professor for the Catalan Institute for Research and Advanced Studies at the University of Barcelona in Spain.
Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi. Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are, depending on the time zone.
So the first thing I want is for you to take us to this cave. What is it like there?
The cave is at the edge of the sea these days. So when you're there, you're at the edge of the terrace in front of the cave itself. There's a 5-meter step, and the sea is just down there, and you can bathe, you can watch the fish and the dolphins swim by. But it's actually a bit misleading, an image that is a bit misleading if you want to think about the site in terms of what it looked like 100,000 years ago when it was used by Neanderthals. At that time, the sea level was lower, and as a result, the shore was some distance away. Between 750 and 2,000 meters away. So you have to picture the site as being, you know, halfway on a slope along the side of something like a Norwegian fjord.
And like you said, that cave was once occupied by Neanderthals. So you went there looking for more evidence of their lives?
What triggered this our project was that a previous investigation at this site had returned radiocarbon dates suggestive of the site being inhabited by Neanderthals as recently as 30,000 years ago. And this was an interesting scientific problem because, if true, it would represent a persistence of Neanderthals in our part of the world for about 10,000 years longer than elsewhere in Europe. So we were intrigued by this and decided to build a project, you know, aimed at proper dating of the site. And so it was in the process of this that we realized that the part of the site that had not yet been excavated, that was extremely rich in the remains of marine foods. So when the first dating results that we obtained using a different method, uranium series, showed that the site was of last interglacial age, so that it was contemporaneous with the famous Middle Stone Age sites of South Africa like Blombos, Clises River and others.
You said this dates to the last interglacial. How long ago exactly was that?
The last interglacial is a period of broadly similar climate to the present, which began about 135,000 years ago and ended about 72,000 years ago. So it's a long period of time, about 60,000 years. Our site was occupied towards the end of this period, between about 86 and 106,000 years ago. On land, the environments were pretty similar to present time. So a Mediterranean landscape as we have today.
You mentioned this trove of marine food, including a shark vertebrae, which was the first bone that you found. How did you know that this was a significant finding?
People in places like Southern Africa at this time had been harvesting seafoods in significant amounts, particularly limpets, mussels, and also doing some seal hunting and some fishing. But this was not known in Europe. And because the people living in South Africa at this time are designated as early modern humans, whereas in Europe, we are talking about the Neanderthals, who for most people are, you know, like a dead end and a non-fully human, at least, side branch of human evolution, and this was not known, okay? And so the hypothesis was put forth by some colleagues, and this is a hypothesis that became very influential, that it had been the consumption of marine foods, because they are rich in fatty acids like omega-3 and such stuff, that would have favored the development of brain tissue and somehow resulted in higher cognitive abilities among the people, so-called early anatomically modern people living in Southern Africa. And as a result of these enhanced cognitive capabilities, they would have been able to grow in population numbers, their societies would have become more complex, their technology evolved faster and to higher levels of efficiency than elsewhere in the world. And so these populations, as a result, expand. And because they are superior, eventually wipe out everybody else as they expand to Europe and Asia, and by everybody else, obviously, including the Neanderthals. For Neanderthals to feed on marine resources was a key aspect of this model. And what we have shown, and this is why as soon as we started finding lots of fish remains and large crab remains, it became obvious to us that this was an artifact of sampling. What this tells us is that, as often is the case, absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. You just have to look in the right place, and what you thought did not exist or could not exist, in fact, does. You know, so this business of the consumption of marine foods cannot serve as an explanation for what happened when people of ultimate African origin began to spread into Eurasia.
If there were no fundamental differences between these two groups of human ancestors, do you think we'll ever figure out why they died out?
So we're talking of a population imbalance in terms of numbers, of like 1 to 100. For each Neanderthal living in Europe, there would be 100 Africans. There were much less people in Europe than in Africa, but there are very few people everywhere anyway, okay? So as soon as that is the situation, the different phenotypes maintain their characteristic features. Neanderthals continue being Neanderthal. People living in Africa continue to be whatever you want to call them, right? But as soon as populations on both sides grow, along the frontiers or the boundaries that existed before and across which gene flow always existed, even if in limited amounts, exchanges of all kinds become more frequent and more intensive. What you had before as two reservoirs effectively merge into one. And when you do that, you know, and the imbalance is 100 to 1, what's going to happen to the one? It's going to be absorbed. That's what happened to the Neanderthals. They did not die out. They were incorporated in the larger, if you want to call it that way, modern human population that formed as a result of these ethnic mixture events, And that is why 70% of their genome is still around.
Last question, and that's just, what is your dream find? You know, what is the cave or other site that you would love to unearth? Like, what's the data in there? What does it tell us? What are the bones? What's in there?
I've been fortunate enough in the course of my professional career to have found the earliest anatomically modern humans in Europe. I excavated the Peshtera cu Oaș in Romania, where we found these fossils that have been subsequently studied by geneticists. And before the burial of the Lagarfelho child in Portugal, which was actually the first hard evidence for admixture between Neanderthals and modern humans, published 22 years ago already. And I've been involved in the dating of the of cave art, showing that Neanderthals were cave artists. And now this business of with the marine foods, I don't think I have the right to expect anything else. I'm satisfied, more than satisfied. I consider myself extremely lucky to have been involved in these findings.
Well, congratulations, and thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for your interest and attention.
That's producer Christy Taylor speaking with Dr. João Zalau, a research professor for the Catalan Institute for Research and Advanced Studies. He's based at the University of Barcelona in Spain.